I want to begin tonight with a question, a very personal question. Are you at this very moment in time saved? If Jesus were to return today or tomorrow, would you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would stand in the line of the righteous? Are you saved? I didn't ask you if you hope you are. I didn't ask you if you think you are. I didn't ask you if you might be. At this very moment, are you saved? The Bible tells us that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are saved, that we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 5 and verse 1. Tonight, we're going to be talking about justification and looking at the idea of what it means to be justified in Jesus Christ, just if I'd never sinned. The Bible tells us that we can know that we are saved. Paul knew that he was saved when he wrote in 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, he said, I have fought the good fight, I have kept the faith, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul knew. Peter knew that he was saved. Even in all of his shortcomings and all of his mistakes, Peter knew that he was saved. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 2, he said, for we earnestly long for the coming of the Lord. Peter knew. John also knew in 1 John 5 and verse 17, he said, I write these things that you may know that you have eternal life. John knew that he was saved. Paul knew, Peter knew, and John knew. Do you know that you're saved? And how you answer that question and how you think about that is perhaps how you might think you need to answer it, but we do it according to what the Scriptures tell us. It's not what we feel, it's what we can know with what the Bible tells us, that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I know I've said this 100 times, one of my favorite gospel preachers is Brother Andrew Conley. And he had a sermon concerning that we know that we're saved. In the preface of that sermon, he said, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Because we have an assurance that we are saved. Yet so many Christians today walk around hoping they're saved, or boy, I sure hope I'm going to go to heaven. That's really not an assurance or a faith or a trust in a God who says you can know based upon what Jesus did for you and that you can be just if you had never sinned, justified in the sight of God, and only Jesus Christ can do that for us. When you think about the idea of what it means to be justified, we can't say, well, I think I am. Well, I might be okay. Because what confidence does that put in our Maker, as our sustainer and giver of eternal life, that we don't put our trust in what He says He can do for us? Lord, I really hope you can keep up your end of the bargain. And we certainly can't go around claiming to be righteous concerning the works that we've done, because that's not the way it works either. You see, we're justified by a system that God put in place through His Son concerning the free eternal gift that He gives all of us, and our only portion of that is to have faith in what He's done for us. That's what we have to do. And through faith, we have obedience in the gospel system, but we have to establish what it means to have faith and understand what it means to be justified in the sight of God. You might be interested to know that the word justification or justified is found in its form some 30 times in the New Testament. 23 of those times are found in the writings of Paul. 14 of those are found in the book of Romans, which we often refer to as the book of justification. So almost half of the justified or justification words are found in the book of Romans. Romans 1 verses 16 and 17 tells us and really kind of sums up the idea that we can know that we're saved because we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto or for salvation. We're sanctified by what God gives us. We're set apart. We're different, but we're justified based upon what God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ, as the cross of Calvary. And in that, I can put confidence in knowing, because I'm justified, never sinned, knowing that my sins have been completely cleansed and washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ that we talked about this morning, I can know and I can stand and affirm the fact that I am saved. So, brethren, this isn't a guessing game. I don't walk around hoping that I might get to heaven. Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me my reward because God promised me that. But many people think they might be saved, but yet they're wrong. We see it in the religious world all the time. They have this idea. Jeff talked about it today. He did a great talk over at the nursing home concerning a lot of people think, but we can simply say a prayer and God is going to save us. But we don't find that in the Bible. So therefore, we can't be justified by something that's not there. A lot of people think they have the idea of what it means to be justified in Christ, and a lot of people do things wrong, religiously speaking. Think about what Paul, in Acts 22 and verse 4, he said, I persecuted this way unto death. He went about persecuting the Jew or the Christians. Here was a person trying to keep the Jewish faith at the same time trying to kill Christianity. In the very next chapter in Acts 23 and verse 1, he said, I have lived in all good conscience until this day. Paul thought what he was doing was right, yet he wasn't justified in what he was doing. So how can I know then that I'm justified, never sinned? How do I understand then what justification means? You see, what you think isn't the standard by which you answer that question. Only the Word of God can give you the answer to that question. But I've always had a hard time wrapping my mind around Christians who walk around saying, I'm a sinner. That's not why Jesus died, so you can claim that title. He died that you can claim the title of Christian, not sinner. Well, you know, Larry, we're all sinners. Maybe you are. Doesn't mean I don't sin and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 tells me I do that. For the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. I understand that I can make mistakes. The blood of Jesus Christ says I can walk with Him in the shadow of His forgiveness. 1 John 1 and verse 7. And because of His cleansing agent that we talked about, the blood and what it does for me, if I keep fellowship with Him and I understand that I fall short and I make mistakes and I can fix that, then I continue to be justified by His blood. But brethren, I'm not a sinner. Because Christ said, you're not a sinner based upon what I did at Calvary. So therefore, we shouldn't walking around giving ourselves a title that God doesn't want us to have. But I can be justified just like I had never sinned. Let's look at Romans chapter 5 tonight for just a few moments. And in that one verse, there are three words that come to mind that can help us answer our question tonight. Are you saved, and can you know that you're saved? Frequently we hear people talk about the condition of salvation. Hear, believe, repent, be baptized. The conditions of salvation, right? That song we're often taught in pew packers, right? We all know it. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. Washing away your sins and remaining faithful. The conditions of what it means to be saved. But that's not what is of interest to us tonight as we talk about justification. We're interested in the condition of salvation. Not conditions in relation to the steps we must follow to be justified, but the condition of salvation whereby we are cleansed and our slate is wiped clean and our sins are absolutely forgiven of our transgressions. But Brother Larry, when you talk about being saved, exactly what are you talking about? Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. And three words we're going to notice that we're going to take out of this tonight concerning justification here that Paul is talking about are the condition, the compulsion, and the compensation that we receive because we've been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, therefore being justified, there's the condition, by faith, there's the compulsion, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the compensation. So what's the condition then that Paul is talking about here? Look at the passage again. It says, therefore, having been justified, never sin. And two wonderful passages come to mind when I think about this. The first is Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 that tells me that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So God says, I'm not going to have any more consciousness of your sins and your transgressions. Brethren, do you understand how much of a blessing that is for us? Based upon our lives and how we fall short, Romans 3 and verse 23 again, and how we make mistakes time and time again, God says, I'm willing to cleanse you of that error, of that sin, of that transgression, to wipe the slate clean. And the Hebrew writer says, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Just if I'd never sinned in the first place. That is wiping the memory clean. I also think about Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, that talks about the Old Testament sacrifices, how those Old Testament sacrifices don't do for the New Testament aspect of what Christ was as a sacrifice, because those Old Testament sacrifices couldn't remove sins. They were simply to bring about the recognition and carry them over to the next year that I might be cognizant of what I've done, but guess what? The guilt is still there. And the memory is still there. But again, back in Hebrews chapter 8, and according to the first principles of the oracles of God, Hebrews 5 and verse 12, Hebrews 8, 13 says, their sins, their transgressions, their iniquities, God says, I don't want to remember these things anymore. So my condition in relation to what I've done, a sacrifice that doesn't grant forgiveness, Paul is talking to the church at Rome saying, why would you want to go back to that system? So in relation to the way that I'm living today, why would I want to go back to a system where I have to remember everything I've done when God says, I'm willing to forgive you of those things? Oh, but wait. We're the ones who don't forgive and forget, right? And we talked about that a little bit this morning at the top of the sermon. Now I want you to put these two verses together that Paul talks about in Hebrews 8, and or the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 12. When you put these two verses together, you see that God says, with forgiveness, God says, I'm no longer going to be conscious of your past. And with forgiveness, I don't have to be conscious of my past either. I mean, that's a gift too. But that's, of course, where we struggle, and we've talked about that. We struggle with this idea of forgetting what I've done to God, forgetting the sins that I've committed in my life, whatever those things might be. But God says, with forgiveness, grants the idea that I'm not going to be conscious of it. That means you don't have to be conscious of it. You see, there's the condition of salvation. God says the condition I'm putting on this is that I'm going to forget everything that you've done because you've been justified. That I can stand justified and sanctified, set apart from everybody else, because I'm willing to come before the throne of God of His mercy and His grace and beg forgiveness, and God is willing to justify me and forget all that I've done based upon my repentance and based upon what I've done, based upon the gospel plan of salvation that He requires of me. You see, I am no longer guilty of my past, and I no longer have to be guilty relative of my past. The Bible says, in Christ I am a new creature or a new man, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And because I'm a new creature, because I'm a new man, that's what it means to be justified, like it never happened. That is, we get a do-over. You've heard me say this before, and I used to say this when I would teach veterans how to sit in through interviews and how to do their resumes and all of those things when I was working for the Tennessee Department of Labor. And of course, I would always tell them, make sure you dress to impress, dress for the job. And if you're a mechanic, you don't need to go in a three-piece suit, but dress for the job. Be prepared to answer questions. Act like you want to be there. Act like you want this job, because you never get a second chance to make a first impression during that interview. But that's the thing with God concerning justification. We get a second chance. You see, if my first impression isn't what it ought to be because I make a mistake, I can go to God asking for forgiveness to be justified, and He's willing to forgive me of that transgression, and I get to start all over again. But James 4:14 tells me how fleeting life is and how life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So I've got to make sure I take care of this now while I have opportunity, because I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. So my condition is that I understand that I'm justified by my faith. So with that, there's the compulsion of wanting to respond to what God has done for me. You see, my compulsion based upon the justification that God promises is obedience by faith in the gospel system. You see, I do this because I love God, not because I feel like I'm compelled or that I have to. The compulsion tells me I'm serving God because I love Him and I'm thankful for what Jesus did at Calvary. I don't do this as a slave-master type relationship because I'm simply being punished and I get nothing out of this. I'm doing this based upon the stewardship idea that God is going to give me something in relation to this based upon the responsibility I have to produce for Him. And guess what He says? With that, you get more responsibility and you love me and you do this because you have sonship. Man, that's a great gift that He gives us. And that whole idea encompassing of what it means to be a son in the house, the Bible says the servant shall not dwell in the house forever, but the son shall. So I'm compelled, or I have this compulsion by faith because I'm justified, because I understand the system says I don't need to feel guilty of my past anymore. You ever seen somebody come down surrendering their life to God and to Jesus Christ, giving it all to Him, knowing that all of those burdens and all of those sins have been laid bare at the foot of the cross of Calvary? And guess what? Jesus said, I'll bear that now. Jesus made that promise, come unto me all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. So Jesus wants us to take the load, the burdens off of our backs and to put them at His feet, and He says, I'll carry that for you. Why? Because I was willing to die that you might be justified. That you can stand justified and sanctified before God in heaven. To be justified, brethren, is to be reconciled to God. And only Jesus Christ Himself can do that. I can't do it based upon my works. I can't do it based upon the old system of the covenant law because it does nothing for me but push it forward and make me keep on remembering. I don't want to remember those things. I want to forget those things. I want to forget my past, right? There are two words in the New Testament for anger. When you look at Romans 5 and verse 9, Paul says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, again, just if we'd never sinned because of what Jesus did, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him, through Christ. Now understand something about the word anger here. There are two words that we see in the New Testament. There's the word phumos, which means that spur-of-the-moment anger. That traffic on Monday morning on Interstate 1 anger, right? Somebody cuts you off, that spur-of-the-moment anger that you get. And you get mad at the driver and maybe you say something you shouldn't say or maybe you pound on the steering wheel or somebody does something to you and it spurs on that type of anger. That's that phumos, that fuming type anger that comes out of us sometimes. But that's not the anger that Paul is talking about here in relation to the wrath of God. Paul's talking about the orge anger. You see, this is much worse than that spur-of-the-moment type of anger. This is that slow, simmering, angry, avengeful type of anger. Because God is an avengeful God. God demands justice, and He will get justice. But this is the type of anger that God, as that wrath is building based upon our sins, if we don't stand justified in front of Him, this is the anger that continues to build that will come out on the day of judgment when He pronounces our sentence of death. But again it says, but God commended His love towards us in verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And in verse 9 it says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of that slow simmering anger that God has towards us because Jesus said your sins are forgiven. You like people being mad at you? Man, my mother was the best at making me feel guilty as a teenager. I hated it when my parents were mad at me. Hated it. We don't want people to be mad at us. We don't want people to be angry at us. But just imagine the wrath of God and His anger towards us based upon our sins and the life that we've lived, if it isn't based upon justification through the blood. Imagine that anger on the day of judgment. You see, God doesn't want to be present concerning our sin. God turns His back towards us when we sin. But when we ask for the idea of justification through the condition of salvation, God turns His back on our sins and He turns His face towards me. And He's no longer mad at me. Because He says their sins and their iniquities will I never remember. I don't want to remember these things. God tells us, I don't want to keep these things in mind. I don't want to bring this load to bear to you again, and I'm willing to wipe the slate clean. You see, so that's the compulsion that I have to serve God and to do what He asked me to do because I love Him. So what's my compensation then? I mean, after all, we only serve God to get something out of it, right? Shake your head like this. No. God gives the promise of eternity, but we don't do it, as I often say, just to check the list off so I might get my crown on the day of judgment. You see, it goes back to that relationship we have with our parents. We continue to serve them, and we serve them till the day they die because we love them. And sometimes that means we have to give of our time and our means and our resources because they're older and we have to provide for them. But we don't do it because we absolutely feel obligated. We do it because we love them, right? So I serve God based upon my love for Him, knowing what Jesus did, justifying me through His blood. And brethren, if that's not enough for you, I don't know what is. If that's not enough to push you over the edge to obey the gospel, I really don't know what else to say. Greater love hath no man than this than to lay down his life for a friend, John 15 and verse 13. But God commended His love as He gave. Love always gives. Our elders have talked about that in relation to stewardship and what it means to give to the Lord, not simply of our money, our means, and our time, but what it means to truly give of ourselves, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and purpose. Every ounce of our being we give to God because we love Him. So therefore, I'm compelled to serve Him in my compensation because of my love. God says, you get to be with me in eternity. And that should certainly be enough for us, shouldn't it? You see, I'm justified, I'm right with God, just as if my past has never happened. And the result of my obedient life, as it says in the latter part of chapter 5 and verse 1, is that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. You know what it means to truly have peace as a person? Sometimes I don't know if we've ever truly experienced peace in our life. To truly be at peace with what God has given us. That's a tall order. God says, I'm giving you a peace that passes all understanding. Nobody in the world gets what I'm giving you. Nobody understands what I'm providing for you and what I'm willing to give you on behalf of my child. Nobody understands that. I'm giving you a peace that people can't even comprehend. And I think sometimes we truly don't. Because with justification, my peace of mind says it never happened. And because I've been justified, and the compensation I receive is that I no longer have to worry about it because God's not going to worry about it. And He says, rest easy, enter ye herein. That's peace. To truly have peace as a child of God. The good thing about God is that He's not thinking about our yesterdays. We are. But God's not thinking about those yesterdays. You are one with Him and right with Christ, and that means your faith has moved you to be obedient to what He's done for you. We often sing that song, My name is in the book of life, oh bless the name of Jesus. You see, if we've been just, if we had never sinned, that's exactly where your name has been written. And that's where it needs to stay. Because guess what? That name can be blotted out and removed. My parents joke with me sometimes when I give them a hard time that my name in the will is in Velcro. They can just take it out at any time. God can do that with our name in the book of life. He can take us off the roll call on the day of judgment. And when the roll is called up yonder, as we often sing, will you be there? Will you be justified? Will you be just if you had never sinned? Tonight you have that possibility. Tonight you have that gift. Tonight you have that advantage given to you. But here's the thing. For us to be justified means, therefore, being justified by faith means tonight you're compelled to respond to the invitation. Because you want that peace that passes all understanding. You're compelled tonight, based upon your love, to respond because you know what Jesus did. But only you can do that. Only you see the gift that God has given you. And really, you have to ask yourself, is it truly worth it? Because tonight, you can leave here, just as Brother Andrew said, that you can know, that you can know, that you can know that you're saved. And when you pillow your head tonight, that's the peace you'll have, that I'm saved. So if I wake up tomorrow, I'm not worried about it. So tonight, the opportunity is yours. If you're willing to be justified tonight, to be sanctified and set apart by the blood of Christ, you have to make the first step. I'm not going to grab you out of the pew. I'm not going to force you to do it. You do it because you're compelled by your faith and your love for what Jesus did. We talked about the conditions, the things you have to do concerning salvation. That is, you must be willing to repent of your sins, confessing Christ as the Son of God. Jesus said, and if you'll do that, I'll stand next to you on the day of judgment and confess you before my Father, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And Christ said, then put me on in baptism. Be a new creature, to be one and new in Christ, Romans chapter 6. And tonight, if you don't think you've been justified, or you're struggling with your forgiveness, or you're struggling of letting go of what God said He's forgiven you, or you're struggling, period, let us pray with you, let us encourage you, but let us help you tonight as together we stand and as we sing.